That's how we try to do that from the top. That's how he's editing. Sorry. He's editing it. It's fine.
All right. For real. All right.
Okay. And I love how sad she was. She's like, she came in on some Laverne and Shirley. She's like, oh, what's up? This is AC. I'm coming in Shamil. From
Shamil.
All right, hold on. I'll kick it off. Okay.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
Welcome to Sanctum of Shadows.
Of the Dark Flame. You know, oh, my God.
Sanctum of Shadows is a book. I'm sorry. Sanctum of the Dark Flame.
So, okay.
Well, we just...
AC right now, that Aquarius in her is like a tea kettle on a silver stick. All right,
hold on.
We just... Okay.
I'ma just sit back and sip my tea. That's all I'ma do. Look, I'm just a good Christian boy in this corner, man. That's all I'm doing.
Please.
Okay, strange. Kick it off.
Okay. Well, guess I'm gonna have to save this one.
3, 2, 1, go.
Episode of Sanctum of the Dark Flame. I'm your host, David Strange, with
Tom.
Ace. In a new place.
And we're just your friendly neighborhood Satanists.
That's right.
Doing our thing.
Hey, I'm just here just to listen to you guys.
Monty
Wilson
producing.
Playing in the backdrop while
we have Evie here. She's asleep.
The party supreme are going nab 99 day chilling. So we're posted up. Tom, we were speaking on a bunch of things, but I'll go ahead and let you kick off the proceedings for the proceeding this evening.
So basically, our topic, I think what we wanted to start with was a discussion about the afterlife. I think that was what we agreed on at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, at least I know that Imani really wanted to discuss that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the afterlife, we spoke about a bunch of things earlier about our own interpretations of what that means to you, what exactly it goes by your own choices of your denomination and faith. What does that mean to everyone respectively here on the recording? So I'll let you guys sort that out.
So I think the main question or discussion that we're going to have tonight is what are people's beliefs or thoughts or knowledge of the afterlife? Does it pertain to Satanists? What do we think of the afterlife as Satanists? And maybe just give a general idea of what other religions, cults, think of the afterlife. And Tom is at the edge of his seat. I can feel it, and I want to hear your perspective of the afterlife.
I was actually hoping that you would explain more of your perspective, believe it or not.
I'd like you to kick it off.
Oh, okay. So, there are times where I have mixed feelings about this sort of thing. So on the one hand, I do believe in an afterlife where ultimately the Satanist will be united with Satan. That's just an inevitability now. However that takes its shape, that's up for debate. Whether you believe it's a kingdom called hell, whether you believe you become one with him, that's something that, I mean, I think that varies far and wide. I personally believe in the kingdom of hell, Satan's kingdom, not necessarily the hell not at all described in the Bible, because we know that's just a bunch of crock of shit. The idea of the lake of fire, at the very least, if it does exist, if eternal punishment is real, is an invention cooked up by the false god for his followers who displease him. But I'm not even entirely convinced that a place like a lake of fire exists.
Well, one of the things that I, as a theistic Satanist, as technically a pagan, I don't like to hear is false god, because I think when you say the word false god, you're throwing stones at glass houses. because my God is real to me, and their God to them is real. Do I put my faith in or believe in somebody else's God? No. But I don't like to sit and attack, because that's kind of like, I don't mean to be that person, but it's almost insulting to hear, like, your God's false. Like, your God's bullshit. I don't believe in as strongly as maybe other people's gods, like maybe as somebody who has, like, an Islamic background or a Christian background or a Mormon background, you know, any of the Abrahamic or Middle Eastern monotheistic and even, like, other types of gods. I don't necessarily, or religions, I don't necessarily believe in their God, but do I consider that God to be false? No. So I just, as a theistic Satanist, I like to just point that out. Because I don't know for sure. I'm just telling you what I believe. And what I believe and what I know are two completely different things sometimes.
Okay.
So, so then I'm curious, just to build off of something that you mentioned. And you mentioned the kingdom of hell. What does that mean for you, or what does that translate, I guess, in your respective texts? Because the thing is, and I think I may have mentioned this on one of the Limit Your Fears pods, is I went on a date with someone who considered themselves a radical Christian, and her whole thing was, well, my work is to get as many people to convert and to be worshipers and active members for the Lord and the kingdom of heaven. And I'm like, what does that exactly mean to you when you say, oh, well, I think it'll be being one with Satan and entering the kingdom of hell. What is that? What does that mean for you and to you?
Well, that's an interesting question. And to be quite honest, I'm not entirely sure I have a satisfactory answer to it.
Okay.
Because in the text that I've read, there's no real description of, like, what hell is or what the kingdom of hell could look like or what the afterlife even entails for a Satanist. We don't really know necessarily. Like, the Al-Jawah describes this idea that Satan holds rewards that he alone knows about. So you're not going to experience those until you actually meet him one day. But for me, I think I've had what could be described as glimpses into the potential afterlife. So I've had incredibly vivid dreams of this massive, like, monolithic library built of white marble, and it's just packed to the brim with these ancient texts that are bound in leather and gold and just chained up and written in this strange language I'd never seen before. And my idea is that I'm not the first person who's come forth with that. I've talked to other Satanists who believe in this idea of the library of hell, where there's ancient forbidden knowledge, the thing you sort of indulge in. And I also imagine it to be a place of fantasy and fulfillment, but also not necessarily a utopia. You know, a place where there's still ambition, drive, struggle, hardship, things like that will still exist in that end. Because Satanism, as AC once put it, is quite literally a journey through hell. Well, obviously not quite literally, but it is a journey through hell. It's
horrible, though.
Yeah. It's rough. It's not easy. It's not an easy path to walk by any means. There's no... Nothing's ever given in Satanism, it's only earned, you know? And you get from it what you put into it, like you were saying before about the camp, right? You get
about the camp.
Yeah.
That sounds scary.
Bible
camp.
Nobody worry about the camps. I mean, so anyway, but that's the thing. You get out of it what you put into it.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not really sure what to expect 100% from my afterlife. But I'm looking forward to it nonetheless.
Okay. Yeah, I was definitely curious just in regards to that. So essentially what I'm gathering is there is no heaven per se.
No.
For Satanists, there's no equivalent.
No, not really.
Along those lines. Because I think AC, when I think we kind of had a loose conversation about this before, and you were like, "No, I'm gone. Like,
yeah.
It's just that's it. I'm destroyed."
Yeah. Well, this body is destroyed. It's done.
Okay.
It's done. As far as the soul's concerned, it's recycled. Like,
oh yeah, I was just gonna ask that. Satanists, you guys believe in souls and the energies then itself with the universe and plane of existence and the idea of it may be repurposed or returned to the, you know, original creator, you know, things along those lines.
Yeah. Well, in the Al-Jawa, it even says, has this one line where it says, you know, if I so desire, I send a soul back a second or third time. So there's this idea that if you have work left unfinished in this life, you're coming back to finish it until it's done.
Also, so there is an element of reincarnation.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. I believe when we go, we get reincarnated over and over repeatedly.
Yeah.
It's like a cycle.
Yeah,
you're not necessarily going to the great beyond. I mean, after you've achieved all your soul, what your soul has had to achieve, that's it. Afterlife, and then you go.
Then you go plop, plop, and back at the sperm bank.
Yes.
Just go plop back over there.
So basically, I'm gonna have a really fucked up version of Russian Doll until I get this shit like finished. Like,
no, you're not gonna remember.
Yeah, I may not remember, but it's going to still be... All right, so basically what you're saying is, it's like, all right, so...
You might meet the same people over again.
In essence, what we're having this conversation, we had this conversation back, like, 100 years ago as fucking Marxists somewhere.
Oh, you never know. Probably Marxists or barbarians.
And we're like, hey, you know, we can't get caught on the street with papers because we're Negroes, so we'll be fucking shot, and they're fucking dissidents, so then they'll be fucking shot and tried. So I'm like... You know, I'm just curious.
I think it's interesting because I had that experience with AC. Was that when we started talking, it felt like I had just stumbled upon someone that I had known forever. And it was just like an instantaneous connection. It was just, wow, just feeling very comfortable and just okay around them. Like, I pretty much summed it up. It was like I had known her forever.
So in theory, you might be meeting the same people over and over again.
Playing on your theory that, like, that's what you're doing, essentially, or at least you're running into certain people.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I always go back on, it really struck me. I was in beauty school at the time, so I was, like, this was like over 10 years ago, dating myself, whatever. This is terrible. But long time ago, way, way back in my past, I knew a girl in school who recommended me to go to this woman who was a specialist in past life regression. And she had, like, told me about things that would explain personality traits that I have, but I've never met her before. One of them was that I was a prophet or a mystic that, like, was from the, it was basically the story of fucking Rasputin. Alright, she basically, like, retold me the story of Rasputin. Like, from the countryside, did my travels, was alone, just did healing and, quote-unquote, like, magic or whatever.
So, like, a Romany people where, like, you would say, like...
More, I did it on my own. It was,
okay.
I wasn't a part of
people. It wasn't a part of people.
Yeah, it was a solo, it was a solo thing. I was never, throughout her past life regression, I'm just telling you about one of the things that she told me, but it was always a very solo thing that I did, and this was, like, I feel like she might as well have just, like, read me whatever was about Rasputin in, like, the encyclopedia, you know, at the time, because
who
that's how old
that?
I am. So, went from, like, village to village helping people do this, do that, give them advice, and then move on, and I was on this, like, spiritual pilgrimage, and, you know, then, you know, became part of a high royal family, and they took my advice, and they listened to every single thing that I had to say, and they, like, really leaned on all of the things that I would tell them, to the point where it jeopardized part of their political standing with people. And as I got older and as I started to research things and become more interested in history, I'm like, wow, that's like so weird. Is that true? Did she even know about Rasputin? Did she like have like that much knowledge about it at the time? I have no idea what the case was, but I do believe in that. Do I feel like I know that? To me, I feel like I know that, but that's why I call it a belief, because I don't know how many other people know the things that I think I know.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. I definitely get it.
So, to me, I believe, in general, regardless of who you worship, who you bow down to, or who you stand with, or who walks underneath you, or who walks beside you, behind you, who pushes you forward, I think your soul is recycled. I feel your soul is recycled.
Hmm. Interesting. So, I guess whenever it comes to your own work and your own belief system, you know, where it's almost like that reward system, like I've always jokingly said, you know, one's higher power, if one believes in a higher power being like, hey, if you do enough of these deeds on this checklist, you get to kick it with me in the VIP section for eternity. Woo, it's going to be chill. Like, hey, you're going to be hungry, but you're going to have a plate. You're going to be thirsty, but you got your favorite drink. So there's really no, like, sense of, like, an ultimate reward. Because I know in, like, in Buddhism, there's the idea of reaching nirvana. There's the idea of getting to your seven heavens. I mean, different, like, pretty much reaching your ultimate transcendence. So there's nothing like that within your text.
In my opinion, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I've never been there. If I'm here, I've never been
yeah.
there.
So, less about your experience, but nothing that you've maybe researched or you've seen in your own studies that suggested.
No.
There's always the possibility of joining the bigger spiritual power. That goes in, I think, all religions.
Yeah, when Satanism, there's this idea of you becoming your own god, essentially, and, like, you know, becoming a god in your own right with enough accumulated wisdom, magical practice. And to be honest, it's like, well, who the hell knows? We certainly don't know. We only have, it's like Ashley said, we have our beliefs, and they're ours, and they differ from others. We have our truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you've heard tonight, it varies from practitioner to practitioner. Like, Ashley and I don't necessarily believe all the same things, but we do share a core, what would you call it? A core set of
values.
Yeah, values. Exactly. So, but, you know, as the thing about Satanism, which I find so fascinating, is that it means a different thing to every single person. There are no two Satanists who are exactly alike. We all believe different things. We all have our own practices and rituals and a way of doing things. It's never the same. I've never met a Satanist who wasn't drastically different from another.
Yeah, I you know, that's probably been the one thing I can say from meeting you guys as Satanists and then him coming out and letting me know about his own belief system.
Yeah, really.
Coming out of the velvet, the Crimson Door.
The Crimson Door, really?
Crimson
okay.
Door.
I like the Crimson Door.
Exactly.
Very kind of,
yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I always find it to be interesting because then you know how bullshit in the media always portrays that it's someone fucking screaming, spitting blood at someone, doing chaos magic,
yeah.
And you're just like,
I'm always pretty upset when, you know, they're talking about these satanic sex death cults that I never get invited to.
Yeah, like I hear the shit, or like I'll tell people like, you know who? I'm like, dude, the homie's a fucking a vegan. Relax. Like, I'm like, they're not
yeah.
like they came to me one day on a sort of shroud and said, you know what I have in my hand? It's a baby sparrow. Guess what we're gonna do? Hey, now let's pray. It's like, even if that was the case, I'd be like, cool. I mean, this is what you do, is what you
yeah.
do, fam. So, I mean, you know, my, I guess a part of my journey is just knowing people from many different paths, not to help shape mine, but to just sort of help to round out, like, that is you guys' story. And I have an appreciation for that. Your own systems, your own beliefs and things like, and I think the world should be a lot more like it. Of course, that's idyllic as fuck.
Yeah.
But, you know, still
very
to
idyllic.
A certain degree, you know, I still appreciate it. Like I said, with my you know, homies who are Celts, and they go over all of their shit. Everyone go bra, all that bullshit. Yeah, yeah. And then all my Jewish homies, who everything is like, hey, this is what we do. Da da da. To where again, between that, the Buddhist folks I know, the folks who practice Islam, I'm like, now I have a chapter for those who are Satanists. So it just helps to sort of round out a picture, because again, in my upbringing, being a Christian upbringing, it's not that it's like adversarial, but it is with the sense of like, you are literally spending yourself, you're spending your lifetime to do as good as you can, you know, in God's name, you know, doing his work to ward off, you know, the temptations of man and any sort of dark forces. I don't know any fucking exact instances where I've had to pit with dark forces. Like, someone's like, oh, yeah. Although, someone will say something like, not today, Satan. I'm like, I don't even know if it's fucking. Like, there'll be times where I'm like.
It could be karma. Like
for me,
yeah,
probably not Satan. It could be karma.
No, you're actually a shitty person.
Yes.
And not today, no, you're just avoiding your really shitty karma.
And that's my biggest thing. I never looked at it like they were evil forces. Like, oh, yeah, that happened because some demon did that. I'm like, the world is just fucked up as it is.
Yeah.
Everything is by a random happenstance.
The reality of reality is chaos, essentially.
Like, yeah,
you know,
that's it.
The universe is vast and
Let's blame the gays. Let's blame trans people for all the evil. It's like, really?
It's a very old instinct try and blame another, to try and blame...
What you don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. People who can't handle the idea of, like, the indifference of the universe is that, like, oh, it must be malevolent forces. Not really. Not always.
Yeah.
Maybe, but also maybe not.
It's just your fault, okay?
Yeah.
It's your fucking fault.
Wrap your mind around this. Right. You fucked up. Then you might be paying the cost.
And then plus, not to mention, I think of just the weird incidents of life of, like, oh, wow, that little kid was born with, like, fucking bone marrow cancer. Like, I had an aunt that was, like, that passed away when she was 8 with bone marrow cancer. Mm. I don't go, the devil did that. That's why I never got to meet my aunt. I'm like,
what?
She was
sick.
She was
like,
sick.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a common, it was a common ailment at the time. Like,
the unfortunate thing is, it's natural.
Yeah,
it's natural
exactly.
to have tragedy.
Honestly,
it's natural to be predisposed.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, the best way I've ever heard it described is, like, reality can be summed up in two words. Shit happens.
Yeah. Shit happens in your favor, and then sometimes shit just happens to you. It really,
the wheel of fortune.
Yeah, it really just fucking happens. So that's why I've always found that interesting whenever, like, I see those folks who are really devout in whatever it is that they do. Because I'm like, dude, you are going so hard for something that, and this isn't to be offensive, but you're going so hard for something that you don't have a definitive answer about. Your convictions.
And then they will go hard. Like, I was on my way to work, and I saw this tent revival on a sidewalk. And it was a family, or, you know, very close in family. Someone had the keyboards out. Someone was, like, you know, playing the drums with the bass. I'm like, this is this hot-ass day, and you are out here full church regalia, trying to bring words to the masses in the middle of Broad Street in Elizabeth.
What's even more fun are the dudes that represent the Nation of Islam.
Oh, can we
and
not?
And they'll
can
be in the full suit with the bow tie and the newsboy hat with water, the paper about Elijah Muhammad, and a bean pot, and it'll be like 98 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm like, boy, it is so fucking hot out here. The fact that
how are
I'm
you
like,
doing
how
this?
Are you doing this? Allah is speaking through you because it is fucking hot, bro. You are in a two-piece suit,
like,
with your shirt buttoned all the way to the fucking
looking at
top.
My watch, like, it is 12 o'clock, the sun is blazing down, and this man is in, like, full three-piece suit, handing out water.
I mean, you know, truth be told.
The newspaper.
And he's not breaking a sweat.
Like,
not breaking a sweat. He's just ready to sell you this water, get you this paper, and tell you, oh, yeah, tips. Exactly. I'll be with you. Got you. Thank you, friend. Appreciate you. So it's like, you know, I've always just been curious when it comes to the idea of the afterlife and what it means for different folks, because I guess my definition, as I'm continuing to define it, is my own sort of reunion with the ancestors to then get the ancestral knowledge of the universe and the creation of the universe, the beginning and origins of time, and then what that means continuing to build that knowledge for the rest of my existence. Someone would be like, oh, that's dope, but you know, the kingdom of heaven requires you to do this. And I'm like, but I hear that, but that's my paradise. My paradise is being able to get back with the ancestors, kind of chill, do whatever work we do, learn, and then just be energy among the fucking universe.
Yeah,
like,
I've got a theory too, actually, that I mean, I happen to subscribe to this idea that you, the afterlife is not something that's like, oh, well, there's only one, and then we just don't know which one. I happen to believe there's this idea that there are many different gods, all kind of out there,
mm-hmm.
because I know people who have connections to Norse deities, Egyptian, Greek,
mm-hmm.
you name it. They're all out, like, everyone's got a connection to some sort of force when they are a practitioner. And I happen to believe that your afterlife is what you choose.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if you're an atheist and you believe nothing happens, well, nothing might happen when you die. Maybe that's your afterlife. Maybe it's heaven for the Christian. Maybe it's nirvana for the Buddhist. You know, it's Valhalla for the Norse and the pagans. You know, and it's hell for the Satanist. So that's my particular belief.
It could be the plane of reeds for those who believe in, you know, in Egyptology. So,
yeah, I mean,
it depends.
It we don't know, but I happen to think it's all relative. It's all relative to who you're practicing with. That's who you'll go home to because that's who you're attracting. That's as you're exchanging energy with these deities, you become part of each other. So that's just who you're drawn to. It's like, you know, some sort of like magnetic energy, I guess.
Yeah.
You might call it.
Makes sense. I think.
Did David go over what he thinks the afterlife is?
Yes.
Oh.
You care
if there's an afterlife.
If there's.
I happen
yes.
to believe in the afterlife.
I mean, I believe in the afterlife, but I have to hedge my bets.
We believe, but
yes.
it's like, do you know? It's like,
yeah.
do
you know
has
for
his body been dead?
Yeah. Well, it's like, do you know
that
for certain? No, not really.
Well, it's probably your best memory, and you get to relive that day over and over again. That's
yeah.
it.
And the thing is, and it's like I mentioned to him, I think you might have either been in the kitchen speaking with Evie, but I spoke to them about, you know, the filmmaker Kevin Smith, his mother, she had gone through a bunch of surgeries, and she had been gone, passed away several times during a bunch of different procedures. One time, she can fully recant what happened when she, like, slipped away. And the way she described it on a podcast and her own full truth and admission was, she's like, well, I remember being in this place. It wasn't too dark. It wasn't too light. She's like, it was like I was in, like, a swimming pool, a nice lukewarm body of water, and I was just relaxing. She's like, I was just at peace with everything. She's like, I wasn't worried about needing to worry about what I was going to do tomorrow, whether I needed to call this person or any of my daily tasks. She's like, I was just at, like, a feeling of, like, finally. I'm just okay. She's like, and then I woke up, and then you guys said, hey, we almost lost you. And she's like, I almost didn't want to come back. Which, whatever that was,
yeah.
I can't wait to go back to that because that felt great. So when he was recanting on it, he was just like, I can't believe that. She's like, I feel like I saw whatever you saw on the other side. So in my mind, I'm like, okay. So for her, it was just the feeling of like all of my earthly bound duties of my day to day are like gone.
I'm
good.
Yeah.
I'm done. So I always found that to just be kind of interesting. I'm like, wow. I'm like, you know, she felt
maybe she was one of those lucky people who discovered something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
that's her. Maybe she's lucky enough to have found that.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, when it comes to that,
she finds it again.
Yeah. Because as you guys were saying, when it comes to what you make out of things or of like what you want to see when you go. One of the most interesting things, I don't think I've shared this with anybody, was like about 2 years ago when my great uncle passed away ultimately to cancer. They said one of the interesting things he kept saying each day and day, because he didn't go on morphine or none of that. He was old Vietnam vet. He's like, just let me go. Pretty much that kind of guy. They said that every day he was in the hospital, he kept being visited by people that he like once knew. So it's like he said, when he was speaking to mom, was just like, yeah.
That happened to my grandpa. And my grandpa was a World War II veteran.
And it's so fucking strange.
It happened exactly like that. He almost like reverted backwards. He kept visiting places that he had been in his past.
Yeah.
Almost every day up until he died.
And it was weird because it was like he was in the room because he was ultimately in hospice.
Yeah.
And he would be in the room and my aunt would say like, hey, how are you feeling today? Blah, blah, blah. You know, we can't wait for you to get out of here. He was like, wait for me to get out. He was like, dude, he's like, our brother visited us today. He's like, I'm saw Howard? Do you know the last time I saw Howard?
He was like, I'm in Scranton. Things are fucking rad right now. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to build my life. I'm saving up for, like, a shitty ass whatever the fuck car when my grandpa was, like, 16 or whatever outrageously young age was in his brain.
Yeah. When people would come to visit, it was your uncle, you said?
Well, yeah, what it was is ultimately what the story was that my uncle passed.
Like, were they like his old buddies from the war?
Well, no, it was like family members. So for him, he was like, oh yeah, he's like, yeah, my older brother saw me today. And my aunt's like, older brother's been gone for more than 25 years.
Wow.
So, you know, things like
he
that.
Had
and
lots
then.
Lots of sisters. He was the only boy, my grandpa.
Yeah. See, you see what I mean? So it was instances like that. And then when he did ultimately pass away, they said he went away. You know, he told us, like, oh, how you feeling? You know, we can't wait for you. He's like, look. He's like, this has been fun. He's like, I've done a lot. He's like, but I can't wait to get the fuck out of here. And when he passed on my great-grandmother's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt said, no, he planned that. He absolutely planned to say, he literally said, he's like, I'm going to go say hi to mom. And he was out. So literally when that happened, she was like, he said he saw this person. He literally said that there were times he was at the bed and his brother was there. And my Aunt Linda, who passed when she was 8, he's like, I saw Linda today, and this, and this. He's like, so he was, like, sort of making his do with people that he once remembered, and he was just gone. So I'm like, that's kind of strange to me. I'm like, I wonder if that's his own personal experience of just, like, what he was preparing for in his own version of the afterlife, or what, or is that, like, a part of the process? So that's why I've always been very curious about that crossing over phase and stuff.
I've watched two people die. I've watched my grandma and my grandpa die.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with them. They raised me.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandpa was very much like that. Almost exactly like that. To like a degree that is scary. My grandma lost her mind as she was dying. Where I feel like my grandpa was collecting parts of his mind. She was losing parts of her mind. Like, even though my grandpa didn't recognize me, he still knew I was there. He still accepted me. My grandma, I fought until I had one moment with her before she passed, with me and my little brother, where me and my little brother were having a conversation. We were watching her. She was on hospice, and she was laying there completely unconscious, and we were talking about a shitty friend that we both had in common, and we were talking about how, I can't believe they're treating us this way, I can't believe this is happening, oh my god, you know, what the hell, what are the, you know, just complaining in general. My grandma gets up, all of a sudden is like, Ashley, she had not called me Ashley for years, 2 years. Had not called me by my name. You know that you're really beautiful, right? And I was like, what? And she looked at Michael. She said, Michael, please, for your sister. And he looked at me, and we were like, all right, Grandma. Like, you want to talk shit? Like, let's go. And we tried to get her to talk more and everything. Like, we tried to make light of it and just keep it as interesting as possible. We kept going, and we went back and forth, and all she kept talking about was how much Michael and I deserved and how great we were and what good people, and no one should ever treat us poorly, especially whoever we were talking about and all this. And after that, that was it. That was the last coherent moment with my grandma. And before that, it was 2 years before I had a coherent moment with my grandma. And it was completely different than the experience I had with my grandpa. Completely different, where he remembered things and he saw people, he talked to people. My grandma would get up and yell and scream and cry and just jibber-jabber and then have a moment. And then my grandpa slowly went back and regressed to back when he was working in the coal mines in Scranton. So, what the hell? Like, what is that? I have no idea as far as the afterlife is concerned. and I literally like watched my grandpa die, watched my grandma die in front of my eyes. Both of them. Not my grandma, but my grandpa. But I was with them up until the very end.
Like you were there for their last moments?
I was there for my grandpa's last breath. I was the one who clocked the time.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma, I saw her 2 hours before she died. And then I left.
Those have been the moments I haven't been able to do. That to me is just the truth I can't face. Like when my grandmother passed, like I always knew I was gonna get that call from my dad one day, and I'm like, when he called me and I heard it in his voice, I'm like, I was stuck with the idea. I'm like, do I go to New York? Do I really deal with this? And I'm like, I don't know. I was fucking paralyzed, and then my indecision. He was like, don't even worry about it. It's done. And I was like, fuck. So yeah, I was always curious in regards to, you know, I guess going to those final moments, the idea of someone crossing over, afterlife, and what that means in your own faith system and how all of that works. Because you mentioned karma about, you know,
yes,
the ills of people.
I was scared.
Well, the issue is Western karma, from what I hear, Eastern karma are two entirely different systems.
Western karma is like basically, well, I punch you in the face, and now instantly my cat died and my car is on fire on the highway.
Exactly. Whereas from what I understand, Eastern karma is like, hey, your car's on fire on the highway because you didn't learn a lesson about taking care of prioritizing your shit. So
in the last life.
Oh, in the last life?
So it's in some cases it's like,
okay,
all the stuff that happens to you now, it's like because of results you didn't do in
last life.
Of your past life.
Yeah.
So whatever you do will be returned to you, like, you know.
In what sense, though?
In the sense that your actions have a reaction to the people and events around you.
Like, hey, I'm a thief. I'm always taken from people.
Maybe not immediately, but eventually.
What
eventually.
We're talking about is the difference between, okay, so you're thinking more, I feel like that's more, like, Eastern.
Well, as far as his, you reap what you sow, I mean, I understand what he's saying at the Western interpretation. It's like, I'm a thief. I've been stealing from people all my life. And then eventually, one day, I'm going to be in a place where I don't have anything, and it's because I've been stealing from others for so long. So now it's like a penance that I have to pay from all the years of a lifetime of thievery. Whereas you're probably saying, well, yeah, you're a thief because, well, the Eastern sense, you're a thief now because maybe some shit you did in a lifetime where now you're from a place of lack, so you always have to take and take and take just to get by versus someone who has a bountiful life of always having things given to them. So I don't know how that system works. I always found it to be very weird. I've heard other people say different interpretations of how karma works. Like, I remember some guy who I would follow, he's like a guru in his own sense. He's like, oh, well, karma is a system of not you getting things happen to you consequentially, but more like you're put in these circumstances because you have not learned from a particular behavior. So you're going to be in those circumstances. Like, hey, if you're someone that's always getting into altercations and losing friends, it's because you haven't consolidated that you're a confrontational person. Versus, oh, in your former life, you were a tyrant, so now no one stands beside you in this life. So I don't even know what karma really is. I just try to work off of a system of treat others how I would prefer to be treated. Some people aren't going to see that, so fuck them anyway. And that's just what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I had this one friend who had a big problem, and the problem was that he was an asshole.
Mm.
And, you know, he was alienating everyone in his life.
Yeah.
And eventually, the way he told it was like, well, it took everyone in my life telling me I'm an asshole to realize I might be an asshole. So at that point, he changed his ways. But that's kind of what I'm getting at here, is that, like, if you're just an asshole to everyone, it's going to come back in one way or another because no one's going to want to associate with you anymore. That's just kind of like, whether you believe that's a metaphysical thing or if that's just kind of like a natural law, then, I mean, who knows? I happen to believe it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I definitely
don't. A little bit of it is that spark of divinity. A little bit of that is just natural. Okay, the way you treat others is going to be a reflection of how they're going to treat you.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's all linked to energy at the end of the day. Like, I don't know many people that live really, like, really fucked up and self-centered lives, but then have people constantly surrounding them like, oh, this is a great person. No, that's just literally not how it
works.
There's exceptions to every rule.
Particularly in
like a business scenario where you happen to be a particularly productive or useful person, then you can get away with some pretty abhorrent behaviors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. But then even then, one would then argue, like, depending on what you're doing, is probably gaining to your cohort's greater good as well. So it's not like, you know, they're not supporting it versus,
you know.
So it's like you said, but there are definitely exceptions to where there are definitely folks where it's just like, dude, how the fuck have you constantly cheated people out of shit, done all this sort of stuff, but yet you have thousands more of things that I do where I'm just someone that's on a straight and narrow.
Trying to stick to the right thing.
Yeah.
That's always the frustrating thing, but again, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, they're not going to get away with it forever. You spend your entire life, it's like, okay, you might have more material wealth than I have at the end of it, but what else are you going to have to show for it if everyone you know abandons you, or if you've just been a shitty person your entire life?
Yeah.
Again, one way or another, it's going to come back to you. You know, you don't get out of that unscathed to one extent or another.
Nope.
You know, either you're going to alienate all the people in your life, you're going to have no one, or that you're just going to be an empty, hollow husk, because at the end of the day, material wealth can only get you so far. They've actually done studies about that, where after a certain amount of time, it has literally no effect on your overall happiness. I think the limit is, like, once you start making $90,000 a year, something like that, in that ballpark, anything after that, no matter how much money you make, has no effect on your overall happiness.
Yeah.
You know?
And that makes sense, because at that point, it's just all excess. It's excess, or you continue to gain more to pretty much help sustain the excess you already had.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing incrementally that's like, oh, okay, great, so now I'm making $100,000 more. My life is great. No, all you did was just secure the original $100,000, even more so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like, great, you've got a great cushion to land on if you can't work anymore, but it's like,
this is all immediate karma. This is all within life karma.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally think it extends far, far more than that. I think that there are different levels to it.
No,
can you elaborate on that? I'd really like to hear more about this. Like, what your thoughts are.
Well, I believe in past lives. I believe if you were abhorrent, or am I saying that?
Yes,
abhorrent.
Yes.
In a past life, it could affect you in a future life, or it could set you up for certain types of decision making. I also believe a part of that is your genetics. I also believe if you are genetically predisposed to certain types of behavior, you will act accordingly in society in general. Forget about karma as a metaphysical thing, but karma as a physical thing.
Mm. If you come from the bloodline of Genghis Khan. You know?
Well, again,
no, because, yeah, because he's got his bloodline actually is known to be historically very deep.
Well, again,
the Mongols.
It goes
really
back
deep
to how much of it is nature and how much of it is
nurture.
Divinity.
Okay.
Well, divinity,
yeah.
You know, how much of it is like, you know, what were we saying before? Like, when you said, oh, this bad thing happened to me, it was the devil that did it. It's like, no, shit just happens.
Yeah.
Again, like, sometimes shit just happens. Sometimes you're born.
Well, that's
kind
of my point. Like, serial killers, people like that. How do you explain that type of hardwire? You don't explain it. You don't have to explain it. Actually, you don't have to have an answer for all of these things. I want that to be known, because I think a lot of people sit here and break their minds over the coal, and they're like, okay, how do I come up with an answer for this? How do I explain that? What do I do about this?
Yeah. What
sometimes people are just shitty, and the way that the universe was developed landed you maybe in a shitty spot, and maybe you happen to be a shitty person, and maybe you're predisposed to shit. Do you smell like shit? Do you taste like shit? Do you look like shit? You might be shit type of situation.
Or you at least have a shit bag that you're carrying
around.
You're carrying
it. Get dealt a shit hand in life.
Yeah.
Or in other
that
words,
definitely happens.
In a lived some really shitty lives in our past life, in your soul's, you know, scroll.
You know, to hear you talk more about that has me thinking of a whole different line of research to have to consider. I never thought about looking into past life work, because I'm like, where do I even begin to even begin to
conceptualize that? The 23andMe, I didn't do that because I wanted just purely to know, like, what percentage of Native American or Spanish I was, or what percentage of Russian I was, whatever. I did that because I'm like, this is some interesting stuff. I want to know maybe what, like, my soul's stamp was. And this is just me being spiritual. Like, you know, I think that has a little bit to do with that.
That's interesting.
You know, what stamp coming from those areas, what maybe I've had to do in a past life, if that is a thing. Maybe I'll find that out when I die. Maybe I won't. You know.
So then, just an idea, because, you know, I'm like the moderator now. I'm like, so this afterlife, from your perspective, when it comes towards any concepts of damnation, what are those? What are the foundation rules for that? Like, are there any rules when it comes to damnation in your belief system?
What do you think?
Well, again, to go back to this, there's really, as far as I have studied, I don't see. You can get in trouble with dark forces, for sure. Like, there can be hell to pay for not doing things properly.
Yeah, because like, I'm curious, not to cut you off, like, I know in the Islamic faith, if, say, for instance, if you're someone who decides to sort of say, I'm going to denounce Islam, that's punishable by death.
That's apostasy, yeah.
Yeah, that's punishable by, so that also still stands even within your own system.
Well,
no.
No?
No,
not really. No, we don't have anything like that.
Okay,
there's no written rule like that.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Because damn sure is in Islam that if someone is around you and they know that you literally have denounced your faith and that particular belief system,
well,
depending on how devout they are and their upbringing, that is consideration.
This is the... If you could sum up Satanism in one single sentence, it would be this. Do what thou wilt. Nothing is forbidden. Nothing is off limits. Everything is open. There's no forbidden knowledge. There's no absolute rule you must follow. There's no apostasy. There's no... Well, that's really it. It's just... It's freedom. Freedom to do what you want on a spiritual level, to explore whatever ideas, whatever concepts, whatever you have to do. But... look the hell out.
So basically, you guys are the folks that came to the party with beer and the chicken wings. It's like, dude, we do this. Like,
yeah.
Like, this is just average for us. There's no limitation to what it is.
Exactly.
That we're not bound by any real limitation.
I personally wanted to hear I mean, David hasn't.
Me?
I
think there's damnation. If you really fuck up, you really suffer on this plane of existence.
So when you say
suffer,
when you say suffer, is it like consequentially, like in the afterlife, you're gonna suffer for what you didn't do, or is it more like
what
fear?
You did do,
or what you did do? I should
it's
say
it's kind of like a level of both.
Okay,
if you really did harm, and if you're in the wrong, well, spiritually in the right place at the right time, you did harm, it's gonna come back to you. We were talking about in the car.
Mm-hmm.
About that certain person who did something horrific.
Oh, yeah.
And then they
paid for it.
Dearly.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a way where...
there are consequences for everything that you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
The way that they found that boy.
Well, again, there's this, there's this idea that people who abuse animals and children will have to face Belial's wrath.
Hmm.
So there are absolutely...
Yeah.
There are consequences that
okay.
things you can do. But it's not necessarily forbidden.
Yeah, and then in the metaphysical realm, you're gonna suffer repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Like, you know, what was that meme that you shared?
Me?
Where the person went to hell, they thought they were getting punished, but they got promoted and they were just poking this guy in the head.
Yeah.
Like, it's It's funny because that might be less repeated suffering.
Okay. Like, oh, I'm in hell. Huh?
Yeah.
Yay.
It takes me back to American Horror Story, one of those fucking seasons where the chick was working at like a Popeye's. She had a line for eternity of fucking shitty people,
coming.
And it was like,
yeah.
Why the fuck
one
am
of
I
the
suffering
worst
this?
Seasons, but also one of the best just because it was like a fun season. I enjoyed
so,
it.
Like, did they have like a lot of great concepts in that season?
It was just fun. No. Pop culture, fun.
Which season was that?
Coven 3.
Okay, gotcha.
But going back to what, you know, David was saying, it'll get you in your other lives, but then, you know, also think about the people who are, like, hardwired. Just fucking hardwired wrong.
Yeah.
That you just... What do you do with those? And I just got done taking a bunch of classes on stuff like this. There are a lot of people who are predisposed to certain things that you're just like, oh my god, you are literally lined up to fail. You're lined up to fail.
Yeah,
or genetically.
Genetically,
mentally.
If you're a success in this life, you're literally defying the gods. You're defying
the
universe.
Yeah, you're an absolute fucking outlier.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes, yes, there is karma. Yes, there are situations like that. That was the aliens. But
yeah, I heard that also.
It was the aliens. But if not, I mean,
fucking Jersey.
Sometimes karma bites you back in a weird way. But that also can't be the singular explanation for terrible things happening.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Some people are simply consigned to a terrible fate.
Yeah. Yeah, I figure as much because I think about people that are like truly self, and like I'm talking like truly, like I'm talking like people who live like a life of malice. I mean you can try to define it because it's somebody we knew who was always trying to fucking define, like almost from a sociopathic point of view where it would be like the standpoint of like, oh yeah, it was like, oh yeah, because people may say it's fucked up that somebody murdered this child, but is it really? Like, if you really broke it down to a science, is it really truly horrific, or is it just in your opinion? That child might have been a twisted child or might have been someone that's taken away from resources, but if they're now gone, I'm like, I'm listening to you try to justify being a sociopath.
Like, trying to
rationalize.
And that's when you look at that person.
It's like,
and you think, okay, it's actually you who might be genetically predisposed, karmically. Am I saying that right?
Like karmically, yeah.
Karmically?
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. Carvelically?
There you go.
All right.
Oh.
Delicious.
For G Whale?
Yes. Cookie Puss.
Are you the fucking one that's totally fucked in the head? Because it might actually be you, even though you did nothing wrong in this life. You might just either genetically or in a
sounds
karma
like
type of way.
You might be fucking
like this individual has gone over things in his head, maybe.
And funny thing is, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because they do now. Because I remember when the conversation came up and I was just like in my mind I was listening to him. You know me, I'm a pretty fucking open minded person. I was like, oh, okay, cool. But then my mind I'm like, why is this person almost in the same? I'm like, but see, that's the thing. It wouldn't quite be in the same designation of a sociopath because it wouldn't even be a matter of rationale. It would just be like, no, I don't see that at all. There would be no emotional response to it at all.
Yeah.
So that's how I ruled out the whole, I don't know if it's sociopathy or how do you break it down, but as I knew they weren't, it wasn't coming from
I'm
the,
not a behavioral scientist,
yeah.
So I couldn't tell you.
Well, yeah, yeah, because
I understand where you're
yeah,
coming
yeah.
From.
If it was a sociopath, there would have been no, there would have been, yeah.
That boy's backstory, Jesus.
But yeah, I was going to say, but see, he rides a very fine line.
Oh, man.
That's the only thing. Somebody we know. But
okay.
But yeah, the whole thing is just that I was just always curious in regards to the idea of what the afterlife means for people of different faiths, because I know everyone has their own resolve where it's like, finally I'll be back with my Lord, or finally I'll be in this kingdom of blah 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 blah. You have other people that are looking forward to them coming back so then they can join this holy crusade, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, for me, my biggest thing was, like, for me, my ideal is, dude, I can't wait, because the first thing I'm going to do is go, okay, I would literally come to whatever form of God, on fuck, if God came to me as Alanis Morissette in the fucking tutu, off of fucking Dogma. I'd be like,
that's a hell of an image.
Exactly. I'd be like, yo, so real quick, don't give me a silent treatment, please. I didn't live this long to get to this point. So, quick question.
We did.
Exactly. I'm like, you did. I did. I'm like, Tupac. Where the fuck is it? And you'd be like,
JonBenet Ramsey.
Exactly.
Explain that.
And you'd be,
you're
Tupac.
Are you telling me her karma?
Exactly.
that's my thing. That's one reason I've always really looked forward to the afterlife. Is like, okay, I want some of my questions answered. Like,
yeah, I want to unlock
built
all
Stonehenge?
This shit.
Like, how did they build Stonehenge? Right? We know. Do we know who? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
Kind of, yeah, we do.
Yeah, they broke it down to tribes. They just don't know how they
constructed
it.
Yeah, they don't know how they constructed it. Like, I want to know.
All
shit like
all
that.
Those megalithic fucking.
I
want to
know
structures.
Megaliths. Oh, you're such a good artist.
I've just been binging a lot of ancient fucking aliens. Like,
damn,
like, it's
teaching you some good terminology.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
bad.
I'm
it's bad
impressed.
Because
like,
it's bad because
I love
my
art history, and one of the things is the that can't be Neolithic. Yeah, that's Neolithic.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's Neolithic period.
Yeah, the Neolithic period. One of the things was Stonehenge, and it's like, oh, how the fuck did they do that without any type of modern-ish technology, or at least industrial age technology? How do you do shit like that? So, like, another monotheistic or
Neolithic.
Megalithic. Yeah.
I'm
know.
Like, let me take religion, let me take architecture, and
no,
like
but I mean, hey, but literally, those people
together.
Of those times were erecting things for
like
their gods scenes. And what they saw in those times. That's why one of the episodes of Avengers was so interesting. They have a whole episode situated for your boy Loose. So, you know, so
I fucking love that.
Yeah, so they literally had a whole, yeah, because I think on Supernatural they call him Lucy and a bunch of shit. So it's like they had a whole episode to him, and they were just like, so it's interesting because a lot of these old cultures depict, you know, Satan, Lucifer as this, you know, obviously a malevolent figure, but they said, but what if instead it wasn't this figure that you thought it was? What if it was just maybe them running into other entities from other parts of the universe that may have had malevolent intentions?
Well,
and I'm like, we don't really fucking know, though.
There is
as a art history fan.
There you go.
First depictions or known depictions of Lucifer, believe it's in Italy. It's a
Now we talking about the light bearer, because I know he was.
No.
I was gonna say because
Alexander.
I was gonna
no,
say
no.
I say because he was like pretty boy from my understanding.
No,
he was
no.
just like I'm. Yeah.
It was a mosaic.
Okay.
And the right hand of God was a red angel, and the left hand of God was a blue angel.
Hmm.
The blue angel had three goats. The red angel had three sheep. The red angel helped lead those sheep up into heaven. The blue angel tried to give the lost souls guidance. That was the first depiction of Lucifer.
Hmm.
This is old. Mosaic. There were also frescoes in this church, but this part of it was a mosaic. The first known, still debated, but the first recorded picture of what Christianity considered Lucifer, or considered
was basically
the devil.
It was basically a shepherd trying to.
It was a shepherd.
Shepherd
a
trying
shepherd.
To lead the
stubborn
the,
goats
the
against the other side, which is like the left hand with Lucifer, the right hand with like Michael and his angels, taking them into different places and putting the stubborn, who needed guidance, where they needed to be, and the sheep, the good followers, where they needed to be.
Interesting.
And then there was Jesus in the middle with his arms open.
There's another idea, actually, that comes from the Al-Jawa that I thought was interesting. You were saying before about ancient aliens was mentioning Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting passage in Al-Jawa that always stuck with me, which was something along the lines of, there is not a corner of the cosmos that doesn't know my presence. Notice it doesn't say doesn't know my name. says doesn't know my presence, meaning that Satan could be out there in all different forms and names that we don't even understand.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you say cosmos. You even say like, oh, okay, on Earth,
yeah,
you know, or in the other planet, the
our
heavenly realms.
System.
It is. Yeah, you're talking cosmos.
Cosmos.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So,
which is interesting because when I think about all the different interpretations of gods, you always have the form of the creator, the destroyer, as some sort of
like Greek
you
mythology,
know.
Olympus.
Yeah.
Olympus is a place on Earth.
Yeah, yeah, literally. They
yeah.
they had the mountain
yeah,
and say, hey,
just
this was
Mount
just
Vesuvius
a big ass
helps
mountain.
Helps take you up to
yeah,
Olympus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You,
like,
you could go there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking
even
ridiculous.
Even my boss who is half Greek, who has family in Greece, is like, who makes jokes, yo, I climbed this mountain today. It was as high as Mount Vesuvius. I'm like, wow, Maria, wow. That was so Greek.
That was so Greek.
Like,
that
dude,
was
you
so
were
Greek
so
of you.
Greek,
I have no idea how else, I mean, besides Galactic Booty Call, or whatever it is, that fucking dessert, which I call Galactic Booty Call. it's just like, it was one of those Greek things that I just clapped it. Fuck it. I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I'm just going to sound like an asshole.
Now, you know what I want to talk, we could probably cover in a different episode because I have to do research on it. I know there's some belief systems that do consider, and I know it's universal, so hold your fucking pearls. Clutch them. There are some systems that I know that believe that literally Satan and God are literally the very same entity. Those
yeah.
I find to be very interesting because I've seen like that depicted in some forms of literature. I've even seen in some graphic novels where it's like, oh yeah, it's like I'm he, but I'm also him, and it's like, what?
In the oldest Jewish texts, the ones that are, you know, those texts that are 4,000 years old, the idea of Satan, well, there was no Satan in the old texts. There was the idea of a Satan, who was an accuser or an adversarial type of being, but
mm-hmm.
the God of the Old Testament was considered to be responsible for the good and the evil in the world, and part of what Christianity was trying to do was to separate the idea of God being all good and, let me rephrase that. They were trying to separate the idea that of God being the purveyor of both good and evil. They needed a sort of adversarial force to blame all the ills of the world on, and Satan was that force.
Right.
So there's an interesting sort of, would you call it a juxtaposition happening there?
Yeah.
But initially, that is a very, very old idea. In its root form, I think it was at least that God, the God of the Old Testament, was responsible for the good and evil of the world.
Yeah, like I know British comedian Stephen Fry, I think his name is, I think he went on this one particular, it was almost like a rant. Like, I forgot he was being interviewed and someone asked him about his own belief system. He's like, God, really? He's like, so you mean the same God that watches people go hungry? Same God that gives cancer to children? Same God that does all these different things? He's like, yeah, I don't know who that person is. I don't know what that being is, but if he's supposed to be so benevolent, why is he now responsible for single-handedly taking action of all of these ills of the world? He's like, I just think it's complete bogus that people subscribe to such a notion. And I'm like, that's kind of conflicting, because then I'll see the post online of people like, oh yeah, you know, stop praying for this such and such Jesus figure to come help you, because he ain't been helping your people since here. He ain't helped your people with slavery. He ain't helped your people with this issue. He didn't do this, and this. So I'm constantly just like, all right.
One of the beautiful figures.
What are people looking for out of salvation, essentially?
One of the beautiful figures of just occultism in general is
mm-hmm.
Baphomet. Now, that's the ultimate symbol of our Christian version of Lucifer,
mm-hmm.
Satan.
And the funny thing is, I told people that shit for as long as humanly possible, because there's
yeah.
a brand, you probably heard of it, called All Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when All Saints became popular during the height of, like I said, the whole Satan craze, as I call it, because I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, what's up with the fucking goat head? It was like, oh no, you know, it's just.
Are you talking about Black Craft Cult or All Saints? like the Couture line.
The Couture line.
Okay.
Yeah, because I noticed with them they used a lot of occult images, especially a lot of images that I've seen you guys in Satanism and different things like it, and I'm like, what's up with that? Like, that's weird, because you got a picture of Baphomet on an $80 powder blue t-shirt. Like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, okay, no, oh, you know, it's just edgy. So I'm like, no, I feel like it's tying into different belief systems and different, like, iconography of Satanism and other pieces of the occult. That's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of that symbol, and that's why I, as a Satanist, really, really love to incorporate it and really like to use it in my iconography, and why I believe a lot of theistic Satanists like to use it. Even the shirt that Tom's wearing right now is like a Baphomet head. I designed that, whatever. It's that ultimate symbol of like the beast, the man, the woman, the angel, and the demon. It takes like all of that and it morphs it together into this whole collage.
Yeah. Baphomet is essentially every aspect of Satan combined into a single symbol. It's absolutely breathtaking.
And I mean, even with atheistic Satanists using it, fuck it, like fucking use it, whatever. Like, I get ticked off when occult symbols are like abused, but like, if you're using it like for self empowerment, you're doing what I want you to do.
What, are you serious?
You know?
So you see me know. Aleister Crowley flashcard set is not, like, you know, totally right up your alley?
Aleister Crowley is a spiritualist. Is he a Satanist? I am not 100% sure, but I know that he included Lucifer, Satan, and other demons and other types of spirits in his belief system, which I also
subscribe to.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I think Aleister Crowley is a super interesting dude. And we need more about him in the world.
It's not self-evident to me that he was a Satanist, although he is respected in satanic circles.
Yeah, like the little bits and pieces I've seen, I'm like, very interesting dude. It's like I said, like you mentioned, not necessarily pegged as being a Satanist, but definitely was like somewhere in that mix, in that neighborhood, basically. So he's like the next door neighbor to Satanist.
Yeah.
Still describe him as a left hand path practitioner.
Okay.
At the very least.
Gotcha.
So, and the left hand path encompasses a whole bunch of different beliefs that are not necessarily Satanism.
Gotcha. Wow.
So, yeah, I think we can wrap up on that note.
Yeah.
I like that little.
Yeah.
We're not what you think we are. And I think a lot of left hand path people don't even know that they are who they are. And I totally subscribe to that because it's subliminal and it's beautiful and it's organic.
That works.
100%.
Well, I gain out of it. The afterlife is what you make it. So if it's a lot of bologna sandwiches, I will be hungry, bitch.
I think this was a great conversation. I very much enjoyed doing this with all of you.
Of course, likewise. So, folks, I'll let y'all go ahead and close this one out. I've learned more, the more you know. So, that's it for me.
I'd like to close this with a hearty Hail Satan and a good night to everyone involved.
I hope everyone learned a lot. I hope you're all well.
Witching hour.
Yes, I was going to say that. I hope you're all well during the witching hour. Peace be with you.
Praise Satan, Lucifer.
In Jesus' name we pray. I was going to get to that. I was going to get to that.
You saved a soul. Good for you.
Oh.
That's right, motherfucker.
Good.